Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
Sound of those sirens, y'all. That can only mean one thing. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Outsider's Edge podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. This is your boy, Mr. Kyle Moores, and I am joined, as always, by my golden lover, the Kota to my Kenny, Mr. Rance Morris. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, and Insider Baseball, if you motherfuckers knew what we talked about before the show, golden lover is quite apropos.
Y'all know we couldn't get Carl on the show 2 weeks in a row because, like, he's busy. He got shit to do.
Yeah,
so Brother Rance reached into his grab bag, and he found us a special guest. Brother Rance, tell the people who we got for him this week.
At this point, this dude ain't special no more because he here a lot. he on the block. It's a good friend of the show, Chair Shot, a contributor, and the self-proclaimed genius. We got Rob Burnett with us. What's up, my brother?
Hey, fellas, good to be back. It's been a little while, but...
It's been a while, still, yeah.
But I still got my key to get in the door that y'all left for me, so I'm here.
Reaching out and madden shit. First and foremost, good to have you on. I've been on with you, and we've done Mindless Musings podcast. But this is the first Edge you've been on in a while. But there was a major thing that you just went to, and you wanted to kind of talk about it, and it's a major show. I'd really like to hear how it was.
All right, so I did kind of the equivalent of what you did back Money in the Bank weekend, except So Friday I went to the MSG SmackDown show, and then Saturday I went to the Super Show tour down in D.C.,
Super Show, was that both Raw and SmackDown?
Yes.
Okay.
I went a whole lot of miles in 2 days.
Gotta earn that frequent flyer miles, man.
Well, it was frequent Amtrak miles for me. So.
Hey, DC to New York look close on a map. That shit ain't close.
Well, it was about 3 hours going up, and then I took the Acela coming home, and it was about 2 hours and some change coming home, so it wasn't bad. But it was my first time going to MSG, and I told the story on Twitter. My father actually went there a few times back in the day to see Bruno Sammartino.
That's what's up.
So it was my first time going, though. So I went, and Madison Square Garden is everything it's advertised to be. I mean, going inside of that place is just, man, it's like, it's crazy, man. And that whole, it has that whole aura to it. And I mean, just sitting in the seats and just looking around, it's like, wow. Like this is different stuff right here. And they pulled out all, they didn't, you know, they pulled out all the stops for this one. All right. Cause look, they had in the dark match to open, you know, the, normally it's like just some, you know, folks that haven't gotten on TV yet or whatever.
Yeah. They've been bringing the NXT people like Austin Theory and Xia Li and Dakota and those people. Yeah.
Yeah, so the dark match was Charlotte and Rhea.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's what they opened up with. All right. And, I mean, they got the full pyro and everything for their entrances. I mean, so they went out first, and, you know, they did their thing. And then, so then SmackDown proper started, and it opened up with Roman and the Usos and Heyman coming out. And seeing them come out like live in person is just, I mean, like it's a killer entrance on TV.
Yeah.
But seeing it in person, and I got to see it twice because I saw them again Saturday. But I mean, it's like, you know, it's like Darth Vader walking out to the Imperial March or something. I mean,
it's pretty special, bro. Yes, I've seen it. It's another level.
Yeah. And so then they come out there and, you know, they start doing their thing. And then the other music hits. And here comes Brock Lesnar. It's like, damn, we're opening up with this. And so, it was just the energy in that place was just through the roof.
I got a question for you. Because I know the show was spotless. Well, damn near spotless. Edge and Rollins had a barn burner. The tag match was great between the Usos and the Street Profits. Even the 10-man tag was fun because that's where Big E said, I'm going to Raw.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the one issue they had was there was no women's match. And the one women's match that they had scheduled was Zelina Vega. And with it being in MSG the day before the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and her story with her dad.
Dad died.
Yeah. And you know, she was on the news the day before, like representing the company talking about that. Yeah. And for her match to get cut 4 times. They didn't cut it because they didn't want it on the show. Somebody went over. But I mean, so as someone who was there, like how did y'all even think about that night? Did you realize, damn, we haven't seen no women tonight? Or did you not realize till you got home?
Well, see, now I've been having my own little project I've been doing, like keeping track of basically women's matches on TV for this whole year.
Okay.
So I've gotten to the point now where I can kind of see what's going on the show and I can kind of figure like, okay, not going to happen this week. So when Seth and Edge started just going long, I kind of got that feeling like, okay, yeah, probably not going to happen. Now, I didn't know about the whole thing about that match being scheduled, so I didn't find that out until later.
Yeah.
But this has been kind of a recurring thing on SmackDown in particular, where the men get to go over and the women get shortchanged.
I think the problem there, and this could be, y'all can tell me if you think I'm wrong or I'm full of shit, but I think some of the problem there is if we look at who a lot of the men are on SmackDown, you've got Roman and Brock, who both have 5-minute long entrances. Like, Roman's entrance is epic. Don't get me wrong. The music is epic. Everything about the ambiance of it is epic. But it takes him at least 5 minutes to do it every time he does it. And sometimes he does it more than once per show.
Yeah.
But that's 10 minutes of runtime just of Roman coming out to the ring. Then you've got Seth, whose entrance isn't as long, but like one of my recurring criticisms of Seth Rollins, as much as he makes literally everything he does in the ring seem effortless, Seth Rollins only knows how to have a long match. Seth don't know how to have a 10-minute, like, we're in, we're out, we're on our way. Everything Seth does has to be 20 minutes. It has to, you know, and it's part of that is because he wants to tell a certain kind of story, and I respect that, but it's just like, man, you can't put you versus another of the men that's in this equation, Edge, who also really only does super long, got to tell this big story, got to hit all my spots matches. It's like, oh, so you're going to book them in a blow-off match on television? These two about to go 35. And one of them's a Hall of Famer, and the other's a future Hall of Famer, so ain't nobody going to tell them that they can.
Yep.
Yeah, so they went, actually, I looked up the official time, they went 24.
Which is short for them. That's the crazy thing, is that's short for them.
And that's 24,
that's 24 on a two-hour show, by the way.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, they could have cut 5 or 6 minutes off of that. The 10-man tag team match went about as long as it should have, so you couldn't really do nothing there.
Usos and Street Profits, you could have cut about 3 or 4 off of that.
Yeah. But, and that's, and the contract signing thing went about as long as it should have also. So there wasn't really nothing to cut there. But yeah, but this has been happening all year though. Because like you said, Kyle, Seth goes long. And then Daniel Bryan goes long.
Roman?
So because Roman doesn't wrestle that much, but yeah, I mean, but he has, you know, long promo segments. So you got people on there who go long. And like you're saying, and now I'm not blaming them, but they're not being told, you know, they're not being cut for time. So as a result, and again, this has been happening all year. This isn't just like last week.
Yeah.
So when you get a women's match on there, a lot of times it's only 2 or 3 minutes.
Well, and then, go ahead.
And then, so this somebody, like I'm actually keeping track of all this for like Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Impact, and Dynamite for all year. All right, so on SmackDown, the women just get basically infringed upon a lot, and then they lose out all the time. And then, you know, and then if you have a segment like the contract signing thing, then, you know, for some people that'll be enough, right? Because they were out there, you know, Becky and Bianca were out there, and blah 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 blah. Yeah. But you got like 7 or 8 other women who, if they don't get a match, they get nothing that week.
Well, I think what also makes it really unfortunate is, you're right, you know, it is a little bit more unique to SmackDown because SmackDown's only 2 hours. And I'm just like, for several months now, I mean, I know I'm hard on Raw. I know I am. I'm a Raw critic, generally, in the best of times. But, I mean, we can all agree that for several months now, with a couple of rare exceptions, they have a strong show here or there. But for several months now, from a creative standpoint, that show has struggled, and that show could use some people like a Seth or an Edge or a Roman who maybe occasionally go over time, but like you got 3 hours to fill, and like a 25-minute match might fill that third hour real, real good.
Yeah. Now, the one thing Raw has been doing better, Raw's been handling the women's division a lot better.
Because they got that extra hour, so you got no excuse to not do shit, even if the shit you're doing is Nikki A.S.H. Doing her weird superhero thing that I know she loves, and I know she came up with it, but I'm just like, okay, girl, whatever. Or you've got Alexa doing the best that she can with Bray Wyatt's gimmick, and I'm just like so fucking over that. Like, and it's not her fault either, but I'm just like, nope, I'm not here for this one. But like, they got 3 hours, so like, they gotta put the women on. You ain't got no fucking excuse. They're desperate for content.
True. But I say even with that though, they do a good job because they get a variety of people on there and they consistently have something. Where SmackDown, a lot of weeks it's just nothing. And then, you know, if you talk about other shows, like, you know, then there's, you know, Dynamite's a whole nother thing where it's like
Dynamite had one women's match this week. It was Jade Cargill versus Layla Hirsch. And I had two thoughts while I was watching the match. One, okay. I'm not a size person, generally speaking, but watching Jade stand next to Layla is like watching Rey Mysterio stand next to the Big Show, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not buying this, Layla. I know you're a badass, and I know you could kick my ass, but like Jade's like an actual athlete, so like I'm just not buying this. My other thought was, part of why I'm not buying this was my second observation, Jade still can't sell. Homegirl still green as shit, cannot sell at all. Great offense, and because she's so tall, she's a great, like, badass heel. But I'm just like, girl, you're going to have to learn how to, like, sell some offense, like, because this ain't hitting.
The only thing she sold in the whole match that looked good was the V-trigger, because she really caught that hold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't no sell. Like, she really caught that knee to the face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Dynamite, basically, you get... Well, they're the most predictable show every week as far as women's matches, because...
Because the show is formulaic.
Because it's one match. There's one women's
five
match.
5 minutes.
And, well, and I'll say
unless
this...
Unless it's a blow-off match, then it might get 10.
There you go.
Yeah, so, and I've been keeping track of, like, match times and all that stuff. And I do this because I'm a nerd. Okay, but anyway. So, yeah, Dynamite is predictable. I mean, you get one women's match, and it goes usually 6 or 7 minutes every week. Now, that's better than the 2 or 3 minute match you get on SmackDown. But there's literally, like, no, that is it. And, like I said, unless it was something like the Brit and Thunder Rosa thing or whatever, but... I mean, SmackDown occasionally has two women's matches, but Dynamite almost never has two women's matches. And if you want a comparison, Raw has almost twice as many women's matches this year as Dynamite does.
Yeah, that's accurate, yeah.
And I mean, I've counted it up. So it's like, it's almost twice as many. And just with an extra hour of TV time every week. So it shouldn't be twice as many. I mean, and but anyway, so the women's match thing on SmackDown, like I said, I didn't know the nature of what it was supposed to be until later. But when I saw how long Edge and Seth were going, and I just kind of knew, it was like, okay, yeah, not going to happen this week.
Writing was on the wall.
What they need to do is, one, you don't need as many women on SmackDown anyway. So you could really just put 2/3 of the women's division on Raw, and you only need like 6 or 7 women for SmackDown, really.
And keep it a buck, they got the bigger names, right? Becky and Sasha and Bianca.
They got Becky, Sasha, and Bianca, right? And
Raw's got Charlotte and Asuka, and
right.
Oh, they also have Bayley on SmackDown. She's just hurt.
And yeah. I knew it was a fourth I couldn't think of. Yes.
Because yeah. I was thinking of who are the big six for the women. Like the six untouchable women. And I was like, oh yeah, Bayley, but she hurt.
Well, and then you would probably, if you're talking about untouchable, then you'd probably have to add Liv, maybe.
No.
I don't know if Liv is untouchable.
No.
I think she's in line for a push. I really do. Yeah. I do think she's in line for a push. I don't know if she's reached that level of untouchable. You could argue that Natty's untouchable just because of longevity, but I still wouldn't put her in the same category. I'm talking about, like, if we're talking about who are they honestly building that women's division around, who is the women's division? It is Charlotte, Asuka, Sasha, Becky, Bianca, and Bayley.
And then
occasionally Rhea. Alexa.
And Rhea.
Because Alexa, they always give Alexa something to do.
But you do notice, like, they have slowly but surely started having her wrestle less and less and less.
Yeah, because she got concussed all the time. I mean, so.
I was about to say she's getting concussed more and more and more.
She's becoming kind of like, you know, I hate to say it, Samoa Joe. Like, I love Samoa Joe, but it's just like literally every time he comes back, he has a match, and then he's hurt. And I'm just like, man, it's always legitimate injuries, and a lot of times it's different things.
Sure.
But it's just like, man, but you just can't catch a break.
Also, Samoa Joe, like, literally chose to fight God and Hades and, like, all the, like, he used tried to kill himself when he was younger. All the damn fights he was in, like, legit. Have you seen the Necro Butcher match? Like,
no,
I'm not surprised the man gets concussed when he sneezes, given what he was doing in the early 2000s.
Because he was going to die against Cross those last 5 minutes.
It did not look good.
Against who? Creator Wrestler number 6?
Yeah. But those last 5 minutes, he looked like he was going like he was going to die.
Yeah, I didn't like them putting him in that position because he wasn't prepared physically.
But overall, well, with the exception of the women's match thing, it was an excellent show and it was an excellent night. And they had some more dark matches afterwards. Drew McIntyre came out there and he wrestled Happy Corbin. Sorry, not Baron Corbin anymore. And then after they were done, after
you gotta give Baron Corbin credit. You really do.
Yes.
Like I know a lot of people can't stand him because like his style of wrestling is not exciting on purpose. But like I gotta give the man credit. He constantly reinvents himself with some new bullshit.
Yeah,
Corbin.
He's one of my favorites, man. After that, it was the Mysterios and John Cena against the Bloodline. That was like the main event.
And I for one, am looking forward to Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Guerrero.
Hey,
gonna be a badass match.
I'm with it.
Yeah, Dominic Guerrero he's grown on me. He has grown on me. Which I mean, I think he would. I love his daddy coming out in the low rider,
Can I say something real quick? I wanna give my brother Kyle credit. Cause in the span of a year, he has gone from hating Drew McIntyre so much that we couldn't even talk about the guy to giving him credit for good things. And now the man hated Dominic Guerrero so much he wanted to fight the kid on sight. And now he's giving him I'm so proud of you.
Dominic has grown on me. He's improved in the ring. He's figuring out, like, he's already got more charisma than his daddy.
Like, you know what it is? It's the Wu-Tang shirt, isn't it? It's the Wu-Tang Mysterio shirt.
I gotta be honest. The Wu-Tang shirt didn't hurt. It never hurts to honor the Wu-Tang. Because Wu-Tang is for the children.
Yeah. That's right. Wu-Tang for the kids. So that was Friday night. So I took the train back Saturday morning and took a nap for a little while, got up, jumped on the metro, went into DC for the super show. And so it was a lot of the same folks. But the main event was Bloodline against Finn Balor and the Street Profits. That was really good. And Becky and Bianca actually had a match because they got to get ready for the pay-per-view because Becky's hardly wrestled anybody.
The finish of that, but the finish was fire. I love the finish of that match. I saw the finish.
Yeah.
I saw a
video. And actually, Becky is, her ring style is actually better suited to be heel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the character was always supposed to be. The way the character was built was always supposed to be a heel. It's just that, we still got you. Becky was always supposed to be a heel. It's just that the fans ended up falling in love with her so fucking much that they, like, forced it into her being a face. But the whole point of the character was that she was bitter and jaded because, like, she kept getting passed over and she felt it was like, fuck the fans and all that other shit. So, like, it was supposed to be a heel.
Yeah. So that was a good match. And they had a bunch of other stuff there too. So now was it Nakamura and Boogs were against Apollo and Commander Aziz.
I fucking hate Boogs so much.
You hate Boogs?
All he's doing is play that goddamn guitar. And it annoys the shit out of me.
Oh, come on.
I'm giving you the stare of death.
I know. I see that stare. I see it. I seen it with my eyes.
Oh.
We can't all like the same things.
That's fair. That's fair.
True. True. And let's see who else was there that night. Damian Priest and Sheamus. And I love watching them because they just beat the hell out of each other. And
I never saw, or I never would have thought, and I'm glad I never saw it coming, but I never would have thought 6 years ago, sitting in the Ring of Honor show in Atlanta watching Punishment Martinez, I never would have fucking thought here we would be. He's a hot shit star on Monday Night Raw doing angles with Bad Bunny and all this other shit, and I'm just like, good for you.
Oh, look, because I remember Punishment Martinez and Ring of Honor, and same thing. Because when they signed him, I was like, what'd they do that for?
And it was never anything about him in the ring. It wasn't that. Like, he's always been good in the ring. It was just like the way that Ring of Honor's creative was at the time. It was just like, are y'all doing anything with this dude? Or is he just this like weird tall guy that's like decent in the ring? And then he went to WWE and Triple H let him have a character. And then Vince got a hold of him and was just like, oh, you tall and speak the Spanish? Hi.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then that was that. Oh, then Drew and Jinder had a Washington, D.C. street fight. Which, you know, they brought out all the usual weapons for that. And it was actually a pretty good match. And then Charlotte and Alexa had a match for the Raw Women's title, and that ended like a double count out. And there's a couple of things that they did there that they kind of looks like they're working on some stuff for the pay-per-view match. And because at one point, like, Charlotte went to do the Sister Abigail on Alexa, and she reversed it into like a DDT. So don't be surprised if you see that happen.
Mm. Okay.
And that was, I think that was everything for that. And that was another good show. So for me, it was two nights in a row. And so, and that was my first time being on out of the house for anything really since all this stuff started, man. So I had an excellent time both nights.
That's what's up, man. Go ahead.
No. You chime in with your final thoughts.
I'm trying to do some journalism here.
Well, I was going to say that we couldn't really journalism out of his topic. So I was going to thank Rob for sharing that experience and say, after we come back from paying these bills, we're going to give out some flowers.
Okay, that's fine. I had a journalism too, but we can do that. That's fine. Yeah. Speaking of journalism, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and go buy the hashtag journalism shirt. We got one. It belonged to us. Give us money. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash
cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, you know, we here at the Outsider's Edge believe that it is always a good time to take a moment and hand out those flowers to the people who entertain us and who good things happen to and good things belong to. And we would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to just give all kinds of flowers to our new WWE World Heavyweight Champion! Big E got that title, y'all, and it's a new day. Yes, it is.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, it's so beautiful. Like, inject the New Day celebrating one of their own winning a WWE championship into my veins all the time. I am always here for them hyping each other up. It is so wonderful.
It is. It really is. And that they really are friends. It, you know, it's not, they're not perpetrating. And they just go, I mean, they go all the way to 100 with it every time. And it's as a black man, it is refreshing to see brothers on TV be friends like that. Because, I mean, in real life, we have friends like that. But you don't see it portrayed on television. Not like that.
Isn't that one of the biggest complaint, may not be the word, but criticisms of the way WWE has treated black people? Not that they haven't won or lost or whatnot, but that we're never portrayed as just normal black people. It's always got to be some type of stereotype, right? You got to be a thug, or you got to be an athlete, or you got to be a rapper, or you got to be this or that. I mean, the New Day is just three college-educated best friends who are goofy as fuck and just happen to be able to be good at wrestling.
Giant nerds. Giant nerds. Oh,
look, that was those guys. I love. Those three guys. That was me and my friends for 4 years at college.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every night, playing video games, you know, just ragging on each other and making, you know, ragging on other people. And just having a good time. And then when it was time to go to class, we went to class. So just like when it's time for them to get in the ring, you know, they're dead serious. And so for me, it's just, yeah, I mean, it has just been this entire run that they've had for all these years. It's just been, I mean, one of the best things ever. And honestly, it's one of those things that really made me so happy that I got back into being a wrestling fan. Because had I not done that, I would have missed this entirely. And this has just been just seeing these dudes interact with each other every week. It's just, I mean, it's just one of the best things out there. And, you know, seeing them celebrate each other. And I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's always just wonderful to see this. And so happy for E.
It was also really nice to see all of the people within the wrestling sphere that wanted to take the time to shout E out. Like, that's always, it's always nice to see it happen, but it also is a testament to, like, how respected E is within, like, the broader business. I also loved his interaction with Powerhouse Hobbs this week. That was really
cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know why all that surprised me? And it shouldn't surprise me because everybody loves E, right? E is a gem of a human being. But it surprises me because he didn't do the indies. he didn't come from a background where he know all these dudes because they ran in the same circles or they wrestled in the same indies. But he's such a beloved figure that he cares enough about the business to go out and find these people and make these relationships. It's so dumb.
And he didn't do the indies, but like, lest we forget, you know, and he reminds us all the time. In fact, he brought it up this week after he won the title. You know, he was best friends with Brody Lee. Like, he got co-signed. He got co-signed by Brody. Like, he was like best friends.
Yeah.
Like, when you get a co-sign from somebody like that who was that respected within the industry, like, you know, everybody knows it. And a lot of the people that they've released were in locker rooms with him. You know, the FTR was in the locker room with him. They wrestled him all the fucking time. New Day versus Revival was like a constant thing. So, like, you know, he himself was not on that scene, but like, he is well connected to it at this point because he's been in wrestling for, you know, 10, 11 years now. Like, lest we forget, he broke into the main roster as part of Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee's, like, entourage.
Yeah.
That's how long he been in this game.
Yeah.
And he was NXT before that. So, like, that's how long he been in this game. He was in NXT during the Dark Ages.
He beat Seth Rollins was the first NXT champ, and he beat Seth Rollins for that championship when Seth was still a member of the Shield.
The first
Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in NXT when it was FCW during the Dark Ages.
Yeah. And another thing is, but as we know, like, look, a lot of the, you know, the black wrestlers all keep up with each other. You see it all the time on Twitter and all the time.
And that's
across companies. They all talk to each other because, Ray, you know how it is, man. We're a group within, so inside
the community, whatever, has to uplift the community.
Yep, and so they all, you see them all the time talking to each other. I mean, I love it when, like, Shane Taylor and them boys, are talking with them. Because, I love what they're doing over at Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah, the Shane Taylor promotion. If they get Trish, if Trish joined the promotion, I might got to start watching Sinclair.
I mean, they've also got Jonathan Gresham still. So, like, that's always. Yeah. You know, any company that's got Jonathan Gresham, like,
I want to take a second, just shout out to Righteous Rage, who does the Black 500.
Also, I was going to say real quick, shout out, because we had brought it up on our last episode, shout out to Lee Moriarty is officially full-time signed. Shout out to
Lee, Tiger style.
Congratulations, Lee.
So all of this is so beautiful to see as a black man. And those of you who don't know, Rob and I are black. Kyle's Hispanic, so he still understands. But it, for such a marginalized community to be finally showcased in so many different ways, and not showcased because we're black, but showcased because we're good. It just happened to be black. It's a beautiful thing. And I think Big E being ascended to the championship is the culmination of what's been so hard to work for, if you will, because this is the first time in history that a black champion has lost to another black champion in WWE.
Again, and let's give Bobby his props, man, because he had a hell of a title reign.
Yes. He was fantastic.
His title reign almost single-handedly redeemed people's opinion of his second stint in WWE.
It did. Easily.
Like, people were ready to just write him the fuck off. We were all just like, fuck all this.
And can we give some love to the Godfather? MVP has saved a lot of careers in these past years.
Yes.
Well, MVP, not only that, but, like, shout out to MVP. MVP saved Bobby Lashley's career twice.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, good point. Yeah.
MVP came in two times and was just like, oh, y'all fuck it up with Bobby? I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you.
MVP so dope. He got Kenny King out there saying, Vince, come get me, bro. Get me out this contract and I'm there.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Kenny King hold the tag titles right now. He's like, nah, fuck that. I'll be in New York tomorrow.
Yeah, no, but I'm like, I'm dead serious though. Like, for real, for real. It, like, lest we forget, no disrespect to Leo Rush and, you know, happy retirement to him. But, like, it wasn't that long ago that we were in the days of Lashley.
And showing his booty to everybody and stuff.
Ugh. Yeah. And the Lashley sisters.
Oof. Worst segment in history.
Yeah, yes. That was. That was.
Let's do some final thoughts on Biggie real quick, and then I want to give some more flowers to I want to talk a little NXT for a second. So final thoughts on Biggie.
My final thoughts on Biggie are I am so fucking happy for him. Things are going like coming up aces, and I just love it, and I am like hopeful that he does not lose to fucking Goldberg.
Big meaty man slapping meat. That is his dream match.
That is his dream match. I just hope he wins it.
Go ahead, Rob. Well, final thoughts on E.
Just so happy for the man. And just a testament to him and Kofi and Woods. And the fact that, you know, all the stuff that they fought for over the last, what, 6 years, 7 years? Because, mm-hmm. Look, you know, as a black man, it's real easy. It's easy to get real frustrated with your career. It's real easy to just say, you know what? What I have gotten, you know, I can live with it. And because I'm just tired of fighting to get more. It's real easy to do that.
Yep.
And they kept fighting. You know, and That's just a testament, you know, because everybody ain't built for that, man, you know. So they, I mean, you know, they never stopped fighting to get the things that they thought they were capable of doing.
Yeah.
And if you don't take anything else from their career, take that. Take that, you know, they saw what they were capable of doing. And they didn't let anybody stop them. They didn't, you know, and they didn't let anybody convince them that, hey, you know what, you got it pretty good. Just don't stress yourself out anymore, right? They kept fighting, and they got it.
To that end, I would just like to say, you know, I've said this before. Xavier Woods is one of my fucking heroes. Like, legitimately. Everything he says he's going to do, he fucking does it. Everything. Everything he says he's going to do, he fucking does it. Which is why if they bring back King of the Ring, his ass better win the fucking King of the Ring. I am here for King Woods. Manifest that shit. Speaking it into existence.
And let me finish off by saying this, because all both of y'all have said beautifully how much we appreciate E and how happy we are for him, because my God, we're so happy for him. But I also want to say two quick things. To your end, you, Rob, you mentioned something that's very important to note, how hard those three guys worked. I'd like to use them as an example to show people that it's possible to be yourself and to fight for yourself and to get where you want to go in this business. You do not have to acquiesce or do not have to lose yourself. So many people come out after they leave WWE and they say, well, I didn't have a shot. These boys out here, they put their lives, their careers on the line and said, trust us. And they earned so much trust that they can say and do whatever they want because they earned that trust. That's number one. And number two, I want to say, for those of you who weren't already Raw fans, for those of you who lamented watching Raw every Monday or watched it because you hate watched or because it's habit or, you know, whatever, there's finally a reason to be excited about Mondays again. And I'm so hyped for that, because every other night of the week, there's something to be excited about in wrestling. And now people can be excited about the flagship again. I'm hyped for that.
I kind of want them to put the Hurt Business back together and have the Hurt.
So does E.
Go after
so
the
does E.
Day.
So they've does been, E.
They've been pushing for it. So, yeah.
And so, speaking of great shows to watch during the week, we finally got to see NXT 2.0.
And a wrestling setting with a happy ending.
Right? How rare does that happen?
Yes. But great.
From the moment the show started, started, they were like, nah, son, this is different. Shout out to Bron Breakker, aka Rex Steiner, aka little baby dog face gremlin.
I wish they would have just let him keep the name Rex Steiner. I get it, but like, still.
It don't bother me because I've had to watch Randy Orton, The Rock, and, well, not even The Rock, Randy Orton and Charlotte Flair have to work three times as hard to get half the credit. And so, like, I understand.
You know, I see that, but can I also counter with, I think to a lot of fans under a certain age, Rick Steiner does not mean the same thing.
Well, that's it. That's a big part of it, too. Yes. The like, Steiner name does not care. Does not carry heavy
in 2020. I barely remember the dog face gremlin.
Yeah.
And like, I don't have memories at all of the Steiner brothers as a tag team because that was before I was even into wrestling.
Oh, see, I remember them. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Getting Steinerized and the Steiner line and the Steiner and the don't call it the Hurricane Run. It's the Frankensteiner.
Before Scott started doing steroids.
He was always doing the motherfuckers. He went 2 a.m. on them bitches. Always had the arms. Go back and watch 1993.
Back when he had
them hoes.
Back when his neck was only the thickness of one tree trunk instead of tree trunks.
Go ahead.
Because, I mean, well, it's funny because, I mean, he was regular. When they first got together, that was around like 1989. He was regular size then.
That was before I was born, for the record.
Oh, wow. Damn.
To be fair, Rob,
I was born in 1990.
And I was born in 88, to be fair. So, I mean.
Well, damn. 1990?
Yeah. And I'm in my 30s, Rob. So, like, imagine how young my students are.
Okay, so. Well, 1974 over here.
Ooh.
Anyhow, but like it was around like about maybe 91, maybe that dude started going through some changes.
Yes, sir. He went from the size of a normal human being to the size of two normal human beings.
Yeah, but to me, it's cool to see him, and they're definitely they're going big with him off jump, just from what was on the show. So.
Right. So we'll talk about it. I want to run through some of the new changes in NXT besides the new arena. But Bron Breakker debuts, beats LA Knight. We have Joe Gacy and Brooks Jensen, I believe, who are, and damn, he's somebody's son. I can't remember. Doesn't matter. Fuck him. They're a new tag team. Apparently, they debuted. B-Fab from Hit Row made her debut.
That's a bad bitch right there.
Kyle O'Reilly got taken out of the Fatal 4-Way by Ridge Holland and by Pete Dunne, and was replaced by
Fatal 4-Way. Go ahead.
And was replaced by Cal Bloom, now known as Von Wagner. If you don't know who Cal Bloom is, most people don't know who Cal Bloom is anyway, so you're probably right. But he's in the Fatal 4-Way match and did fairly well.
And speaking of the Fatal 4-Way match, we saw the other happy reunion of Tommaso Ciampa and Goldie.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm thrown off now. Yes, Goldie and Tommaso. What else happened?
Diamond Mine.
Yes, Emily Anzulis, a.k.a. Ivy Now, debut in the Diamond Mine, and Kushida's back. We're getting Roddy and Kushida next week. Mandy Rose is now brunette. Toxic Attraction is a group. That was a lot of new things. Carmelo Hayes debuted the big homie Trick Williams, and apparently they fuck with Master P because they about it. But everything was different about the show, from the pacing, from the colors, from the backstage, from the match styles and the times. Everything was different. Fatal 4-Way still hit, right? You know, the tag team match was turned into a six-woman tag between Toxic Attraction and Casey and Saray and Kaden was still a fun match all together. And then, yes, we have the best wedding in the history of WWE.
Oh my God, it was so good. Like,
such a perfect show.
I knew I was in for it. I knew I was in for the wedding as a segment when Dexter opened the fucking coat pocket and had the goddamn hatchet in there, and everybody's hands slowly creeped down. I'm just like, yes, more of this camp ass shit.
Everybody can get this work so much. Hey, the priest had to get this work because he was talking too much.
He got that work, and then Beth jumped in. And you want to talk about you can get a gimmick over, and you want to talk about a great pop. And this is one of the times when being in the CWC really does work to their advantage. Dexter Lumis said two words for the first time in like months?
No, years. That man has been playing that gimmick for years.
And the crowd went banana fucking pancakes. And credit to the rest of the people in the ring. They sold the shit out of it. It was so great.
Yeah.
Dog, the audible gasps and holding of the pearls when he said, you heard 500 people say,
and I know he's a piece of shit, but like, man, props to Austin Theory for like, when he was standing and doing the hands.
Austin was perfect last night.
Austin, you have the rings. We're in a ring.
Shout out to them giving my boy Ikemenjiro something to do as the Shady Jacket dude.
Yeah.
Even Andre Chase got something to do, right?
Yeah.
You stuck in our house while we were sleeping?
Oh, man, it was... It was good, man. And because I was waiting for just disaster to strike.
As a seasoned wrestling fan, we have been conditioned to expect the wedding will end in tragedy.
Yes.
Eric Bischoff's going to rip off his face or a snake.
Triple H is going to come on the Jumbotron and reveal that he went to the drive-thru chapel.
Kane's going to destroy a ring. It's just what happens. Yes.
So, I mean, they played it straight. It was just perfect. And, I mean, the whole thing was just excellent, man. And let me say this. Are people who get mad about them having TV writers on the wrestling show, this is why you have TV writers on the wrestling show. Okay? For stuff like this. Because the boys could not have written that. All right. I mean, just all the callbacks and attention to detail and all that stuff. That's why you have TV writers on the wrestling show.
Agreed. Okay. Yeah. If they do their job right, they make the show feel different.
I'd also like to give them credit for like committing to a weird angle that unexpectedly got really over with the audience and just running with it.
And hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, because a lot of times, you know, especially WWE, a lot of times we don't give them credit for like going with the crowd reaction or going with what's hot or allowing something to kind of fester. They took this thing that was kind of like a weird innuendo insinuated thing, and it was like slow burn, slow fester, and the crowd just got really behind it as like, this is simultaneously the most demented and fucked up thing on the entire show, and also the most wholesome and adorable thing on the entire show, and it's this weird dichotomy that we're all just here for, and they just let it happen, and that was really great, and I want to give them props for that.
Yeah. I'm glad you say that, because just real quick, WWE gets a lot of flack, as you say, for not going with the moment. But they also get flack when they do go with the moment, because then some people will say, oh, well, you're making it corporate now. It's not as fun. Meanwhile, we got the Suzuki incident becoming an actual thing that has 2 weeks worth of build to a match and a story. And everybody's like, I can't believe they made it. That's so fantastic. Like, when things are good, just say they're good. When things are bad, just say they're bad. And this Indy Hartwell, Dexter Lumis story that came off of, just like you said, the most asinine, simple reaction between one person to another blew up and became one of the best storylines in professional wrestling. Let's just call a spade when something is good, something's good, and give them credit for it. WWE, NXT, whoever you wanted, Triple H, Ryan Ward, Bruce Pritchard, Vince, whoever did it, give them the credit because it was fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. And oh, Johnny Gargano was so great with this too.
Yeah, and Johnny really, he really committed to this. And this is one of the rare examples of Johnny has achieved a certain level of status within NXT that, like, we don't often see used to, like, properly elevate everything around him. And I think that, like, Johnny really used the way to get literally everything that came into its orbit over. And that's impressive.
How many times do you see a stable, and when the stable breaks up, because they're effectively done, right?
Austin's yeah, gone, oh yeah, that's roster, like the finale of
Indy's gone,
is pregnant.
Yeah, but yeah. How often do you see a stable, and when it's over, and not broke up, because they're still family, quote unquote,
yeah,
but broke
still
up,
the family,
and everybody's more over than before. That's amazing.
And yeah. Like, and it, Johnny went from being hopelessly stale, running in circles, why are we doing this? Like, either move him to the main roster or figure something the fuck out, because, like, damn. Yeah. To, like, this totally reinvigorated Johnny. It gave him some really new things. Obviously, you know, he was excited to be working with his wife. But, like, just everything about it made him seem fresher than he felt before it started.
It did, and honestly, because I was at that point with him where I was like, look, this dude either move up or move out. I mean,
that's exactly. He had reached that point. It was repetitive booking, and it was like he was always occupying the spot either in the championship feud or right outside of it, having the same, like, feuds and matches over and over and over again, and you have to, like, bring a Glock and a tire iron and a crowbar and some holy yeah. water and some sage and a spell book and the infinity gauntlet.
Yeah.
A wooden, yeah, everything is crazy.
Kryptonite, like.
And he's still kicking out of two, damn it.
Yeah. And honestly, just on a side note, that's, you know, that's why I personally didn't feel really that bad about Adam Cole leaving, because I'd kind of gotten that way with him. And it was like, dude, either move up or move out. I mean, you know, that's where I've gotten with him too. So, but Johnny found something else to do. And, you know, and he just totally changed his whole career around.
Any other thoughts on the reboot? Anything you didn't like?
I mean, it was just like they fired a lot of shots over those 2 hours. I mean, they just so it was a lot to take in. I love the Creed brothers, and yeah, no, I love Diamond Mine. I love what they're doing. And the thing with Carmelo and Trick Williams, kind of curious as to where they're going with it. And, like, you know, Trick needs to take drink a little decaf next time.
He was a little hype. He was, yeah. That's his first time on TV, though. He was a little hype.
But, you know, it was cool, though. I'm just, you know, and so I'm just curious to see where that's going. And I was surprised that Ciampa won initially, but, you know, I mean, a lot of people made a good point that he is a good person to have hold the title right now.
Good figurehead, yeah.
He's
a good top guy for this reboot if Joe can't be the guy, absolutely.
Yeah.
And much like Joe, he's good in the sense that, like, his character works in either alignment, and you can work the feuds around that.
And he loved the fucking brand. So, like, he'll do whatever it takes to put on for the brand. He'll do the media. He'll do the tour. He'll do the this. So,
yeah.
My only final thought is, yeah, I feel like I need to let it marinate more. before I like formulate an opinion. I think it's interesting to see what is essentially the third brand getting a new era. You're used to seeing them like redefine eras and shit within the main canon. You're not used to seeing them do it with their like developmental and shit. So like, it's interesting to see them like turn this into a 2.0 and like fully embrace that. So like, that's interesting. And we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And now look, and it's going to be sink or swim. I mean, some people are going to flourish and they're going to turn into the next generation of WWE superstars. And, you know, some folks aren't. And, you know, we're going to see all that happen in real time.
Yeah, but that's what NXT was originally for. I mean, I believe you are, but I know me and Kyle were. We watched original NXT when they revamped and FCW turned NXT and had the show on Hulu Weekly. This is what it was. This is exactly what it was.
I remember when the show had the formula. You remember?
Yeah, man. Formula? My only negative of the show. And yes, of course, the too many matches. I think they do too much at once. But my only negative of the show was B-Fab is terrible. And I'm so disappointed. Because she's in too big of a spot to be that bad. Because, you know what I'm saying? They didn't give Legato a whole woman. And Elektra is all woman and she can go. And like y'all did all this to book this major four person feud, and you can't even do a damn neck breaker correctly. I know you knew, but like, come on now.
But I think it's made worse. But though you're right by the fact that like she green as fuck, and the person that they got opposite her is not.
That's gonna be a major problem. Yes. I feel bad for Katrina because like if you've ever seen that girl really wrestle,
she's not green. She's done this.
But
that's a difference between them. And it's just like, okay, so you got one performer who is brand fucking new, like can't do shit yet, and then you've got another performer who is a veteran and knows what they're doing, even if they're a younger veteran, and it's just like this is going to be real sloppy.
Yeah, so because I described her as she's a punch and kick girl right now.
That's all it was, dog. Did you see the kicks where she was bringing her leg back and kick? Like, what the fuck is that doing? Does not make the kick any harder.
But, you know, I just maintain that regardless of your moveset, like, I can deal with a shitty moveset, but, like, man, can we learn to sell first? Can we learn that first? Can we make that our, like, earliest lesson? You know, having a flashy finisher is fun, and having a great like physique or a great look is awesome, and having some cool moves is great. But like, if every offensive move your opponent gives looks like shit because you don't know how to sell it properly, it's going to make both of you look like trash, and it's going to take us all out of the match.
Agreed. All right, so I want to take one more break. When we get out of here, we're going to talk a little, kind of give a little bit of a preview for AW Grand Slam, a.k.a. AW pay-per-view on Wednesday and Friday. And Meltzer fucked up. And Rob had a bit of a response to Meltzer in video form. So we'll get to that. We'll be right back.
India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield. Hey folks, listen up, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net. Pins, stickers, illustrations. angrylemonade.net.
This is my yard now.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
always use your head.
Thanks for listening to those ads, y'all. And now that you're back, you know, I really do have an honest question for everybody. Like, so why the fuck are you still spending your hard-earned money on Uncle Dave's shit rag? Why are you doing that? Why are you hurting yourself? Like, Uncle Dave's shit rag costs more than 2 months of the Peacock Network's terrible outlet. I know, like, you know, the interface is awful and it's terrible to use, but it's half the price. Uncle Dave's shit rag is more expensive than Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime.
Damn everything. Plus. Damn it, lunch. God damn it. You get lunch and dinner for cheaper than fucking...
In fact, the only streaming service that isn't more, or that isn't cheaper than Uncle Dave's shit rag is HBO Max. And I'm sorry, but like HBO Max is worth more than Uncle Dave's shit rag. So like...
Yes.
Man, the worst, the cheapest damn shit is worth... Man, fuck this dude. And look, I don't even like to give this motherfucking time.
We normally don't. We don't.
But he made a fuck up very, very big, and that, I don't say a fuck up, he did what he does. So yeah. That was very big and a major thing that people really still believe to this moment. And I know Rob did a video about it. I liked it and retweeted it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Let's not give this motherfucker too much time. Real quick. Yeah. Fuck this dude. And
yeah,
go ahead.
All right, so first, there's the Adam Cole thing where he put it out there that the creative pitch was given to Adam Cole was that he would be a manager for Keith Lee. And, of course, everybody was like, see, that's what they were going to ruin him. Now, because let's say that was true, even. If that was true, he wasn't going to be out there like Jimmy Hart. Okay, but that's what people, that's how people took it. Like he was going to be out there like Jimmy Hart or Jim Cornette or something with Keith Lee, right? But it turns out that, wow, somebody actually asked Adam Cole about it, and he said, well, no, they didn't tell me that. So Dave did wrong again, and this is just a couple of weeks after he said that creative doesn't have anything for Asuka. She's been coming to the building and going home. And that turned out to be bullshit. Because she had dental surgery, because remember Shayna Baszler knocked one of her teeth out. And then she had an arm injury. She's like, her arm is in a sling.
Yep.
And I want people to stop and think for a minute. When he's saying she was coming to the building, remember they're not in Florida at the Thunderdome anymore. So it wasn't like she was taking like a 20-minute drive or something and hanging out for a little bit and going home. All right. Going to the building implied that she was flying out from, I think she lives like in Las Vegas or something, right? Or somewhere out west. Well, because she's like, a lot of her little videos and stuff are out there. So I think she lives out there or whatever. But anyway, but it was implying basically that she was flying out from wherever home is to the arena in all these different cities. Hanging around for a few hours, and then, got nothing for you, and then flying back home. All right. That's what that implied. And it turns out that wasn't true. And that's just the two most recent ones, right? I mean, there have been other stories this year about, you know, in years past. Of course, there's all the Roman stuff from a few years ago, right? And then... So, I mean, it's just bad enough. And then, today was like he clinched it today because he referred to Trick Williams. He referred to him as like, they're trying to have him be like a jive talking kind of dude.
Dave Stay is making questionable racial comments. And I'm just like, how many questionable racial comments do you make before people just call it what it is?
Wait, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, because you know that guy was either a Blu-ray or Meltzer says what has the audio right? And it's just like, what?
Let me tell you something, sucker. Okay, fool. I'm gonna come here, play boy.
Jive talking kind of dude, like you know, like an airplane. Remember an airplane with the lady was like, I speak jive, and she started talking.
Come on. Oh, wait, when Sean did it with Crime Time.
Oh man.
Yo.
I mean, so I made a video. It's about 7 minutes long. And so, it's time to get him out of here. And the worst part about it is, like, the more legitimate journalists, wrestling journalists out there, still piggyback off of him. Like, why are y'all doing that? Y'all don't need to print not a thing that man says.
And not a like, word. And, like, honestly, for real, like, just subscribe to Fightful's Patreon account. Like, they're breaking all the news anyway.
I mean, if you're
they're breaking all the news anyway.
If and you're you that can get their for shit news.
For $5.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm of the mind that I'm not paying for wrestling news. I'm of the mind that whatever I need to find out, I can just watch the show. All right? That's me anyway. I don't need to know who's showing up that night until I don't need to know that ahead of time. All right. I'm perfectly happy just watching the show and finding things out then. But, you know, I always throw in my little tagline is, if you insist on throwing away $12, just send it to me and I can go buy comic books.
Yeah, we could do better, much better with that money than that shit.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, man, fuck that dude. He'll never be get something else wrong, you know.
And the other thing that I hate about him, and then this is the last thing, you can literally change the date and the year and just change the wrestlers' names, and he literally says the exact same thing about Vince McMahon and the WWE. Okay, you can find stuff from 1984 and 1990 and 1998. In 2002, in 2010, and 2020, and it's literally the same stuff, the same comments about Vince McMahon. Just change the year, change the wrestlers' names. Literally says the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's always wrong.
Yeah. That's all. There's proof of that. So fuck that dude. But if I have to be journalistic, he's going to be watching a major show next Wednesday.
Will you?
Oh, for sure.
Was that journalism enough for you to
pick up? It was good enough for me. So Wednesday, y'all, will be part one of what they are billing as AEW Grand Slam. You've got AEW Dynamite Grand Slam, and then you've got AEW Rampage Grand Slam 2. So they're kind of billing this as a huge card. And, I mean, it's huge in the sense that the card is coming to us live from Arthur Ashe Stadium. That's
beautiful stadium.
Yes, and hence the term Grand Slam because it's the tennis stadium. And so we've got the card pulled up, and they've got, like, they are pulling out all the stops for this card. So I'm going to start with the Dynamite card. In no particular order, we've got FTR versus Darby Allin and Sting. Fuck Darby Allin. We've got Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley versus Suzuki-Goon, Lance Archer, and the great Minoru Suzuki, who we want no smoke with. We've got MJF versus Flying Brian Jr., who desperately needs a stylist because, damn, them outfits are sad.
That motherfucker texted me that earlier. He texted me earlier, like, what is wrong with the way he dresses?
Ooh. Ooh, Brian, get you a gay friend, honey. Like, have Sonny help you pick out some outfits.
Darnell.
Yeah.
He does that's his job.
Get Darnell to dress you in a fresh fit. Then we've got Rance's favorite wrestler, Garrett, versus Malakai Black.
Kick his face off. Kick his face off.
Did you see Rosario Dawson defending fucking Garrett on Wednesday?
Look, she gets a pass because she got a check to defend that piece of shit. So I ain't mad because she got a check, right?
Yes,
she's
contractually
obligated because of the TV show they're on together because she's getting a check.
And I will give the company props for good use of celebrity there. Good use of celebrity.
And
I give her props for like getting physically involved, but she came, she had the little interaction, she jumps Alistair or Malachi, and he brushes her off, she rolls out, and she's done.
And can I give the world props for her being fine as fuck? Good.
She's real hot.
God.
She is real hot.
Yes.
Speaking of real hot, the next match involves Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, defending her AEW Women's World Championship against Ruby Soho in Carl's favorite match of the night.
this is very true.
And then the main event of that match on free television in his AEW debut, we have Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon himself, versus Kenny Omega.
Ain't no way they can let that end, right? They can't end the shit.
Oh, that's got to dust. That's got to dust.
They got to get out of this, right? There's no way that they let Bryan beat the champion in his first match, or they let Kenny beat the new guy in his first match. There's no way.
They also are billing a CM Punk interview, which, I mean, whatever. Take it or leave it. Don't really care.
Well, I mean, remember, Sting talks. Sting talks to Tony Schiavone. Sting walks out to the ring to talk to Tony Schiavone. Sting talks to Tony Schiavone about what they did last week. Sting talks to Tony Schiavone about talking to Tony Schiavone. This is what they do.
That is true. That is true. That's a stacked-ass card. Which of any of the things stood out to you, other than the main event, which of any of the things stood out to you? What are your initial thoughts on that? I'll start with Rob, and then I'll go to you, Rince.
Okay, so, all right. Because, like, you know, I still have not come around on the Root Beer Company. But this, but I will admit that this, you know, that what they're doing here looks really good. FTR, Sting, and Darby Allin. Okay. I think I'm sure it'll be fine. and Mox and Eddie Kingston against Suzuki Goon. Look, hey, we love Suzuki Goon here. that'll be interesting. And I guess to me the biggest one to me, and although now the Ruby Soho and Britt Baker thing. All right, now, and this is one of those things that popped up on my Twitter timeline. Some people just were not happy that it was just kind of announced in passing Wednesday, and like, you know, no promo thing, no video stuff or nothing. Like Tony Schiavone just kind of mentioned it in passing. And that doesn't, well, from where I'm sitting, that doesn't bode too well for Ruby. Well, I don't expect her to win anyway, but it's making this look like a kind of, okay, she's going to get the match, and after that, she goes, have fun on the YouTube show.
All right, Rich.
Which, I mean, well, she got released from WWE, so she didn't ask for a release. She got released. But the thing is that, well, we'll see how it plays out afterwards. But this is looking like a rerun of what happened there, because, I mean, what happened there early, like, she peaked real early there because she had a title match with Charlotte at, like, was it Fastlane 1 year?
She had title match with Ronda too, two of them.
Yeah, that was a year later. But that was pretty much squash. I mean, she peaked really early in her WWE career, and that match with Charlotte was pretty much where she peaked. Because after that, it was just six woman tags, and until she had the match with Ronda a year later. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen here, but given the way they booked women on the show. Yeah.
If they book women on the show.
Well,
yeah.
Nine matches announced for the two nights, and only one of them is a women's match. I mean,
yeah.
All right, Rance, your thoughts.
The card looks great. The card looks great, but it also looks like a bunch of shit that we know is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. MJF is going to MJF. He's not losing two matches in a row.
And he's damn sure not losing a match to one of the Varsity Blondes. No disrespect to the Blondes, but like...
All disrespect to the Blondes. Fuck them dudes.
Okay, then.
Damn. Keep them fucked.
Don't give a fuck about them. Him or Griff. Or, okay, Julia could get it, but other than that, I don't give a fuck about her either. Fuck all the dudes.
Damn. I didn't know you had this salt in you for the Blondes.
It's not salt. They're not worth their salt. And I mean, Brian's cool. He can go. I don't give a fuck. I'm looking forward to seeing a massacre with Malakai like literally kicking the face off of Garrett.
Oh, you know that's not gonna happen. Come on now. You know that's not happening.
I mean, look, come on.
I say this
as someone who's always been Malakai Black's biggest fan. Like, I was his number one supporter for years, of course. Realistically, Dusty's fourth favorite child will probably win.
Look.
Yeah, I mean, you know what time it is. You know what time it is, man.
Y'all expect the most epic of rants on next week.
Oh, we're already ready. I've already set a time some rants spits fire about Garrett for next week.
I'm looking forward to. I want to see FTR put Sting in the retirement home, but of course, you know, Sting got a Sting, so clearly they're gonna win that match. Britt's beating Ruby. There's no way Ruby beats Britt. I doubt it. They're not going to let Kenny and Danielson go to a finish.
And yeah, I'm Mox curious probably, to see how they do the Dusty finish on that one.
I am. Well, Bray Wyatt. And
really? You think it'll be Bray Wyatt?
I'm pretty sure Bray debuts in one of these two shows. And I know we're just talking Wednesday. And Mox probably turns on Eddie Kingston during the Suzuki-Gun feud. So, like, a lot of fans feel like it's going to be like 2 hours of fantastic bell to bell, wonderful action. Gonna be a lot of shenaniganry, I feel.
Yeah. So, regardless, I mean, if Bray Wyatt does debut, good for him. He'll do very well there. And I mean, I watch Dynamite every week, so like I'll be here for it. But
I don't know if he'll do well, but he'll make a lot of money.
What I mean by do well, he'll make a lot of money.
Oh, I thought you meant do well, like be booked well, because he.
Oh, I mean, I don't measure wrestlers. I don't measure a wrestler's success by the quality of their booking. How much of these asshole billionaires' money did you manage to finesse?
Duly noted.
See, it's like you can't control. You cannot, in a lot of ways, you cannot control the quality of your booking. You can control the quality of your performance within that booking. But you cannot control the quality of the booking itself. So, like, I ain't gonna hold shitty booking against you. I am, however, gonna give you all the flowers in the world for finessing a billionaire out of his blood money.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I saw a couple of takes about the whole Danielson Kenny Omega thing. It was like a Twitter thread I just kind of scrolled through and. There are a few people there who are not happy about the possibility that this might have some type of DQ finish or something.
Well, AEW doesn't quote unquote do that, so sure.
And this is one as an old wrestling fan or older wrestling fan. This is one of those disconnects I have with a lot of the people who are, like, particularly like the indie stuff and you know that side of it. Because to me, like, look, DQ finishes happen all the time. There's a purpose to them, right? Because you don't want to end the whole thing with one match. And so you need to keep things going. And so to keep things going, you have shenanigans. And there's a whole section of like fandom now that just acts like that's like some type of travesty or something. Because I even saw one person say, well, if they're going to have that kind of finish, they just shouldn't have the match. And I'm just kind of like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's the, like, that's the belief, bro.
I mean, because to me, like, something like, you know, Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega, you don't just want
such a good match.
You really only want to see it once. You really want them to just have one match and somebody pins the other guy and then that's it? Really?
Yeah, especially considering, like I said, it's going to be such a good fucking match. Like,
I don't understand that, because to me, when two people are really good together and do really good work together in the ring, then I can watch it over and over and over.
Especially two people who understand the psychology of wrestling in the way that Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson do. Like, these two know how to tell a fucking story in the ring.
Yeah. And so for me, so that's just a concept I don't get. I don't get, and particularly a match that's on free television. I mean, hell yeah, you know, the Good Brothers or whatever should come in there and, you know, Bryan has him in the Yes Lock.
Hold up. I'm sorry, Rob. You weren't here for the new rule. We don't talk about those two on this show because, like, they suck.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. But I'm sorry. Okay.
You had no way of knowing. This was a new rule. We've decided it recently amongst ourselves. Like, we just don't have time for their shitty wrestling and their shitty, like, whatever they think those gimmicks are. Like, I don't even know what to call what they're doing now. Like, Luke Gallows is just this dude that does, like, dick jokes. Like, no, I don't have time for that.
They're like Flea Market Hall and Nash, basically.
No, they're like frat bros in their fucking 40s. And it's like, dude, this isn't cute. It's sad. Like, it's not funny or cute. It's just legitimately sad.
Yeah. And so, but basically what I'm saying is, of course, you know, Bryan should have him in some type of dire straits, and then you have the run-in by whoever, and they stomp him out or something. That's exactly what should happen. And I mean, to me, it's booking 101. But of course, there is a section of fans now who don't want that and will be extremely angry if they do something like that. And again, I don't know. To me, it's like, when you can't do stuff like, when you can't do wrestling booking 101 kind of stuff, how do you expect to actually get any real stories that last more than a week?
You expecting wrestling fans to be consistent.
but of course, then, and I was listening to you guys from last week and what you were saying, Kyle, about, you know, how with AEW, they just bring them the sugar every week. And, you know, but this is going to be an example of that, right? I mean, because look, as pissed off as a lot of us were when they did the thing with Bianca and Becky at SummerSlam, sometimes you have to do that. And whatever you think about the timing or who was involved this particular time, like, sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to piss people off. And so that's why you would have a DQ finish there. Because the whole point is to just, Bryan will be about to win and then he gets the win stolen from him. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, that's the way, look, me in all my years of being a wrestling fan, that's how it goes.
Well, you know, as good as the Wednesday card looks, like, honestly, I'm with you, Rance, the Friday card is way more fun. So the Rampage Grand Slam card, because Rampage Grand Slam is only an hour long, is
This
is going to be two. Ooh, even better. So more condensed show. The only matches that have been announced so far for Rampage are Men of the Year, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, versus The Mega Circle, Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. Then you've got CM Punk versus Powerhouse Hobbs with that snackety snack, snack, snack hook by his side. Team Snack. I'm here for all three. And then in our main event, we've got Adam Cole and the Young Bucks versus Christian Cage and Jurassic Express. That's a fun card. There's lots of Hobbs and Hook on that card, and like that's just like so fun. I'm so here for that.
I just love how they found a way to get me, of all people, interested in CM Punk match, because I'm here for him versus Hobbs.
Well, I'm here for Hobbs getting more time because Hobbs is great and he cute, and I'm always here for Hook because yes, please.
And I appreciate the very, very small attention to detail, because last week, I believe, is when Punk said, "Send me Hook." Well, they sent Hook, and Hook took your bitch ass out.
Yeah, so, Hook put your ass in a dragon sleeper.
Yes, I'm looking, and then the super click together. Like, for all of the woes that all three of us have about the Bucks, cannot dispute.
Matches are great.
You can't dispute when they give a fuck about actually telling a story. They're fantastic at it. And those two and Adam Cole together as a threesome are fantastic.
Always great.
Always great. And I'm not here for the dinosaur. But Christian and Jungle Boy Jack Perry can all go. So I'm like, I'm not one person who's intrigued by, oh man, this match will be great. All right, cool. They all got stories that were like, okay, I'm gonna might want to see this. So yeah, I'm excited about Friday more than Wednesday. So shout out to that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they'll probably, like, realistically, they'll probably announce a match or two for Friday on Wednesday. So like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy for them as a company. We say it all the time on the show, like, wrestling companies being healthy is good for the industry as a whole, and like, they're hot right now. They're cooking with grease.
We're gonna break it down to next week, y'all, as best as we can. We'll see if we're gonna break it down happily or if we're gonna break it down analytically. That is, we'll see. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm always excited for good. Man, next week's going to be fire, because next week you got E and his first night back with the New Day as champion. Mm-hmm. You got NXT 2.0 night two. You got Grand Slam. You got Roman, who just got announced that he got to go to the Jammin' the Sam number 7, whatever it is. Chris Platt, give me a tagline.
Are we on number 7? Are we on number 7?
I'm just throwing numbers out. I don't know. It's one too many. But Roman got to face Brock there. But he's also facing Finn at Extreme Rules. I'm sorry. Forgive me. The Demon at Extreme Rules. So, like, and that's the build to that. So, like, we are blessed. And then, you know, whatever Impact's doing on Thursdays. Fuck them. But, like, we're really blessed.
I can't believe it's already time for Blood Money 7, The Deathly Hallows.
God damn it, that's it. That's it, The Deathly Hallows. So yeah, man, like, we are in, I know we live in a multiverse because Peter Parker didn't want motherfuckers to know who he was, so Doctor Strange fucked some shit up.
No, you know what really pisses you off there? He goes and fucks the spell all up. Peter, just tell them motherfuckers again. Like, nobody can know. Just tell them again, bitch.
You're right. But I will say, he can't get them experiences back that he didn't have with, on May, because what is. But with MJ, you can't just walk back up to a bitch and be like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm Spider-Man. No, it ain't the same. They went through some shit. Motherfucker got blipped out of obscurity for 5 years. Came back. Like, that ain't just no...
Whatever.
Hey,
whatever.
Can you call me on the phone? We got to have a conversation. That's not what
you can always go to a pool party.
A pool party? In New York. They live in Queens. What pool
Rez. No, Rez. They could always go to a pool party.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Outsider's Edge. You can find me at Infrared Cash, R-E-Y-Z Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. I'm going to go get my holy water and pray.
Rob, tell the people where they can find you.
All right. You can find me a lot of places. All right. So now, you can find me the Mindless Musings podcast every week. Talk pro wrestling. You can find me.
Shout out to DJ.
And Jason. Yeah. Shout out to DJ Jason. You can occasionally find me writing stuff for chairshot.com. I'm writing some things right now that I need to finish. And you can also find me on Twitter at RBONNE1. And there are a bunch of other places, but that's good for right now to get started.
The YouTube channel, because you posted your Fuck Dave
Nelson. Oh, yeah. So my YouTube channel is just named after me. It's Rob Bonnette, B-O-N-N-E-T-T-E. I got videos like I did about Dave Meltzer. I got simulations from WWE 2K where I do commentary over the matches. I got some videos I've taken of shows I've been to. So go check that stuff out.
You can find our good missing brother in arms, Carl, on Twitter at Outsider Kervin, K-E-R-V-I-N. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Schmores, and you can find the show on Twitter at Outsiders Edge CS. As we have said, we are part of the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot Media, where you
always stay away from pool parties and use your head. Use your head.
And as always,
y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge are some increasingly less young gentlemen doing everything that we can trying to make it out here in this world. And sometimes we're going to say some things that need to be said, like Jade Cargill's got a lot of potential, but she green as fuck. And other times we're going to say some things that, like, just need to hear, like, go out of your way to watch the Index wedding, y'all. It is fucking heartwarming. But no matter what, y'all, we're just out here chasing our dreams, and you've got to respect that. Because if you don't, well, it's middle of the school year, and it's a pandemic, and we sure don't give a fuck.
You know, I had a conversation with Minoru Suzuki the other day, and he asked me to translate this for y'all. Fuck him.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
Pool parties.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.